Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation is the Gospel reading from Matthew chapter 24. You may be seated. God bless you as we begin our Advent season here at Hope. The word Advent, as you very well might know, means coming. Coming. We look for the coming of our Lord Jesus. On one hand, that means preparing our hearts for that celebration of Christmas as we remember who our Savior who came to us as a baby born in lowliness and placed in a manger. One of my childhood memories that I remember with great fondness is creating those paper chains. And each day, as you marked off the days of Advent and marched toward the celebration of Christmas, you get to rip off a chain. It was a way to build the anticipation and excitement of that particular celebration. But on the other hand, Advent has always included a call to keep watch, to be ready for another coming, for the coming of our Savior Jesus again in glory, His return on the last day to bring to its fulfillment all of history, to bring to its glorious conclusion the story of this age and the beginning of the age to come. In many respects, the call to be ready for that day is trickier because there is no date on the calendar to circle. The day will come as a surprise. Jesus is clear about that. The angels in heaven don't know that day. Even the Son doesn't know that day. The Father alone knows, we're told. Moreover, a lot of human history has happened since Jesus has said these words almost 2,000 years, which means that generation after generation after generation has lived anticipating a day that did not come in their lifetimes. And we're called to be ready for the same, not knowing if the end will occur in our lifetime. On the other hand, we are assured that our end will come. At some point sooner rather than later, probably, if you go in terms of contrasting all of human history to the short span of our lifetimes, we know that either Jesus will come in our lifetime or we will be called home to be with Him. That's a guarantee. So whether Christ returns first or we're called home first, the responsibility is the same. To be alert. To keep watch. To be ready. Of course, God's call to us from Matthew chapter 24 isn't simply a call to be ready during the season of Advent. It's a call to be ready at all times, at any time. Moreover, the call is a call to be ready for an event that will be characterized, especially for the people of God, by joy. By joy. It's an event that we are meant to anticipate with joy, not to be worried about, not to be fearful about, but to be ready for. It's like the approach of Christmas. No child ever dreaded the approach of Christmas. They anticipated. They look forward to it with excitement. No bride, at least under normal circumstances, dreads the approach of her wedding day. They look forward to it. They anticipate it. They lean into it. They allow it to capture their imaginations. Of course, I'm using examples here of events where the dates are generally known. Perhaps it's better to use an analogy that includes that element of surprise. Perhaps it's like those scenarios that we see on the news. Maybe you've seen them as well or even participated in them when a mom or a dad serves in the armed forces and they're called away through their service to be overseas for several months. And then comes a time for their return home and their son or their daughter is unaware until that moment where perhaps dad shows up at school in an assembly and surprises their child with his return. What follows? Screams, hugs, joyful tears. A wonderful surprise. On my wife's side of the family, surprise visits are not uncommon. For example, I remember the birth of our daughter, Eliana. We were in the hospital in Michigan, and the day after the birth, I was looking out the window of the hospital, which kind of overlooked the parking lot, and I looked down, and I saw her mom and her dad walking into the hospital. Now, you have to understand, they lived in southern Illinois, so that was a trip of about 600 miles that they made unannounced so that they could be there the day after the birth of our first daughter. A couple of years ago, we had the opportunity to kind of return the surprise a little bit. There was a family gathering that we didn't think we'd be able to attend, and then at the last minute, it turned out that I was able to get a couple days off so that we could go, and we didn't tell anybody. I think we told one person so that they'd leave the door unlocked for us when we got there, but we didn't tell anybody. We just started driving, and that next morning when they woke up, we were there. Surprise. Keep watch. Be alert. You don't know who's coming through the door. I believe that considering these scenarios of the surprise visit of loved ones helps us to wrap our minds about what it means to be alert and to keep watch. What does it take for family members to receive their loved ones, even if they come as a surprise? What does it take? It takes love. It's simply a matter of having the relationship intact. Yes, there might be some details you have to work out. Yes, there might be some scrambling, and the house might be a little bit messier than they would have had it otherwise, and maybe you have to scramble to find an inflatable mattress to throw on the ground if they're going to stay overnight. But what really matters in this scenario? Love. Love makes the heart ready at any time for the return of a loved one. The reunion is blessed. The reunion is joyful because love is alive. Or to use another analogy of a surprise, we can use Jesus' own words in Matthew chapter 24. These are the verses that come immediately following our reading today. It's verses 45 and 46. So whoever is controlling, thank you very much. Way to anticipate. Well done. These are Jesus' words in Matthew 24, 45, 46. He puts forward a little bit different analogy. He says, "Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes." In Jesus' particular example, the relationship is not between family members. It's more of a business relationship between a slave and a master. Or in our modern language, perhaps we think more of employer, employee. The faithful slave has been put in charge of various affairs of the master. And that slave doesn't worry about when his master will return. He doesn't have to sit down and meticulously calculate what day that might be. And there's a reason for that. The reason he doesn't have to worry about it is because he knows his standing with his master. He knows that he's trusted by his master with great responsibility. Moreover, he trusts his master to be a person of integrity. And this slave intends to honor that trust with faithful and honest effort day in and day out. Whenever the master returns, the slave will be the same guy, doing the same thing well, enjoying the same relationship of trust with his master. In these examples, we see into a window of what it means to keep watch and to be alert. You see, God's not calling us to stare into the clouds. He's not calling us to try and figure out the date of Christ's return. It's a futile exercise. If the sun doesn't even know, we're not going to figure it out. Many people have tried, and guess what? 100% of them have failed. And he's certainly not calling us to live our lives with fear and anxiety. The call to keep watch and to be alert is simply the call to be faithful, to foster the relationship that God has established with us, to carry out the callings that God has given us, trusting in his grace in Christ. And yet, we are so often tempted to be too smart for our own good. We're tempted to go outside of the callings that God has given us and to live selfishly, doing damage to the relationships into which God has placed us with Himself and with one another. We live without integrity, and when we do so, then we're right to live with tension and fear. We live according to the world's patterns too often. We pin our happiness to the stuff of this life, the stuff that's going to pass away when Jesus returns. We seek out pleasures we see fit, engaging in practices with others that are contrary to God's will. And we tell ourselves that we'll clean up our practices before it's too late. But how do you know? How do you know when it's too late? What if Christ were to return before I finish this message? Would He find a people ready to receive Him with joy? Or does the thought of that moment fill you with dread? As a son or a daughter, are you living faithfully in your relationship with God through Jesus Christ, loving and trusting in Him? Or are you like the little child who's engaged in that guilty pleasure, maybe it's the hand in the cookie jar, and who will jump out of their skin if mom or dad come into the room unannounced? Are you carrying out the callings that your master has given you faithfully, loving and serving the people entrusted to your care? Or are you abusing your callings for your own purposes, like the person who has become accustomed to stealing from their job, or the one who's going to jump out of their seat because their boss is going to find them watching Netflix while they've punched in? The call to keep watch and to be alert is a call to be right with the returning King now. It's a call to believe in Him now, not just when you need Him tomorrow or 10 years from now. Tomorrow is not guaranteed to anyone. On the other hand, the return of King Jesus is guaranteed to everyone. What else is guaranteed? His forgiveness, His salvation to all who put their trust in Him, even now, even today. That was the reason for His first coming. St. Paul will say so in Galatians chapter 4. If we could have the next verse, please. St. Paul writes in Galatians 4, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." You see, Jesus came to a world full of people who are inclined to indulge in their own passions and desires, to people who are not inclined to love and trust in their Maker as they should. He comes to people who are caught in the act. And instead of condemning us on the spot, He speaks to us as He speaks to the woman caught in the act of adultery. "Neither do I condemn you. I have not come to throw you out. I've come to save you, to cover your sin. Now go and sin no more." He came to save. He came to win for Himself a people who will watch for His return, and when He comes, receive Him with great joy. A people whose lives are lived in constant readiness through faith in Him, exercised in love for others. And He comes not to catch you in the act of disobedience and unbelief on that last day. He comes to bring you to the place He's prepared for you, just as He promised back in John chapter 14. Advent's begun, and with it comes the reminder to be ready. For we do not know when our King will return. For us, the people of God, the return of King Jesus is nothing but good news. And God's promise is that the Holy Spirit is living in us and is preparing us for that day. Trust in Jesus. Know His love. Know His forgiveness. Love and serve the people entrusted to your care even now. And when He comes, or when He calls you home, you'll be ready. Ready for the most joyful celebration you will ever know. In the name of our returning King Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds this day and always, in Christ Jesus, our Savior and King. Amen.